Where's that little? Oh, that's it? Okay. Yeah, I want it over here, please. Right there. Yep. Thanks. Whew. And that is loud.
Wow.
You're going to tone me down, right? Hallelujah. You're the only one, Jeff, can then quiet me. Well, as Aaron said, my husband teaches Bible study every week, and being in the process of preparing for tonight, I can better appreciate what I see him do every week to prepare for every Tuesday, and especially pastor, for what it takes to be able to hear the Lord, seek the Lord, prepare, and invest time into bringing what you think he's laid on your heart to do. And so that's my privilege tonight. It's my hope that, as the song we sang, there will be a breakthrough for someone here. I believe it. I believe God can do and will do what we let him do. So with that, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here with us, abiding with us and encouraging us. I pray for your Spirit to speak through me, Lord, this humble person, this little voice that can be an echo of yours, for your glory, God, and the good of your people. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, most of you know me. I'm Dee Gardner. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I've been attending City Church since the YMCA days, and I've had the joy and privilege of being a part of the music ministry since we've been in this building, and shortly after I joined the prayer ministry. I was saved at 14 years old, thanks to the Billy Graham ministry. I was baptized at 18, and I started seriously growing in my faith when I was in my early 20s. Those of us who have said yes to Jesus' gift of salvation all have a BC and an AC life, before Christ and after Christ. So before Christ, I was insecure and lonely and quiet, and I nearly fainted giving a 3-minute speech in high school. And I know it's hard to believe I was ever quiet. I know, Ryan, I'm reading it. Yeah, thank you. After Christ, I became more secure, more outgoing, and fun, and I found my voice, obviously. I'd like to share a statement that the Holy Spirit gave me that's revolutionized my life, and I believe that it can revolutionize yours, too. I'll share that statement in a bit, but first, I need to take you back about 33 years. When I was 26 years old, my husband left me with 3 babies, small babies, and I spent 10 years navigating through the devastation of divorce and single parenting, basically survival mode. The first few years were a huge learning curve, managing the finances and handling car and house maintenance. And while at my worst and most vulnerable, God asked me to trust him in all things and to tithe. We had very little money, and now God wanted some of it. That was pretty scary, much the same as it was for Pastor and Patty when they've shared how they were asked to tithe in their poor first married days. Some of you have been to my home, and you know it has a challenging hill to mow, a large driveway to shovel, and wood to be stacked and carried to heat the house, as well as a 2-story chimney to be cleaned. Piece of cake. And now it was all up to me to take care of all of that, as well as care for my little ones. These became taskmasters to me, and my body was being hurt in the process, as all of them were physically difficult. I mean, what was God thinking when he made this little body? But more than that, my heart was becoming angry and bitter, and I began to murmur to God a lot. And no doubt, this attitude leached out onto my children and anyone else around. And it wasn't the genuine reflection of who I knew I was or I wanted to be. as I prayed for help and forgiveness, the Holy Spirit helped me realize that I get to do these things. I get to take care of my sweet children because they were with me. I get to live in the country where I love to be. And so the title tonight is, I Get To. During this time, the Holy Spirit brought to Colossians 3:17 to life for me. And all the verses I'm going to share tonight are from the NIV version. And it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Wow. So I began to picture Jesus physically present as I was about to tackle these difficult tasks. And that made them much lighter for me and much easier to bear. Throughout the Bible, we're told, if we abide in his word and follow his commands, they will reveal the Father's will for every situation we encounter. That's pretty big. Every situation. The key here is you have to put the word in to get anything out. We're also told that they will empower us with God's grace to do the Father's will in every situation, and that they will give us the power to glorify the Father in everything we do, great or small. And I don't know about you, but I need some grace and power. So when I suggest having a mental image of Jesus' presence in the midst of your present task or situation, it's a visual aid to help you get in a better frame of mind to allow the word you've hidden in your heart to reveal the Father's will and his grace to empower you to be an overcomer. You see, I'm a very visual learner and I'm a visual speaker, as you'll see. The Holy Spirit was showing me how to vanquish the taskmasters that were hurting me and my family, that were hardening my heart and keeping me from honoring God, which is really what I wanted to do deep down. The truth is, it wasn't the tasks that were the problem. It was the condition of my heart because of the thoughts in my head. The thoughts about blame, how come, it's not fair, and what if. The pain of being rejected and the fear of the future were filling my mind and my heart with harmful things. They were only allowing me to survive. But I wanted more for the girls and I. I wanted to thrive. I wanted us to laugh again, and I wanted us to feel normal again. We can do all things to the glory of God if they're done with the right attitude and the right motivations. So what are the right attitudes and the right motivations? Pretty simple. The right attitude is, I do it out of gratitude. The right motivation, I do it to honor God. So in my attitude of gratitude and my motive to honor God, I realized I get to. And that's when my heart changed. That's when I changed. And then my surroundings changed. How many of you could use some change? Change began with me, and it begins with you. God changed my burdens into privileges. They became opportunities to care for all he'd entrusted to me. And they became opportunities for me to trust God. And frankly, I think all those years of hardship made me the woman I get to be. I understood now that I had the privilege of mothering three sweet babies. I had a roof over our heads to make a home. I had a car for independence, and so on and so on. And after I put this message together, I wanted reassurance that what I thought God was speaking to my heart was what he really wanted me to share. And so when I need God to confirm something to me, I ask him to show me in his word. And he did that very day. This is one of the devotions that he gave to me. It comes from John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Goes on to say, do you want to know the truth about me, my Father, and the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know the truth about every situation, problem, and question you encounter? There is one activity that will make you my true disciple, setting you free from the cruel taskmasters of sin. It won't make you sinless, but it will empower you to sin less. That activity is abiding in my words. Child, I know you want to follow me, but you can't follow me if you don't know what I've said. That's why it's so important to abide in my words. The Holy Spirit will use my words to continually transform your heart and your life. They reveal perfect truth about you, your life, and circumstances, and about the Father and me. They reveal the truth of everything the Father and I value and the lesser worth of everything else. The Holy Spirit will use my words to guide you into all that my Father has prepared for you. So how much more could I ask God to be specific with me when he uses even the word taskmasters and he promises that if I abide in his word, he'll give me grace and power to understand his word and to obey him and to give him honor. He even reveals the truth about myself so I can be set free. And that's also for you. None of these changes happened overnight. I spent 10 long years growing and changing and learning to trust God in myself and others. But my years of persistent faith, persistent faithful service are nothing compared to my first Bible hero, Noah. In Genesis 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. What does it mean he was a righteous man? It means that he loved God with his whole heart, obeyed and sought to commune with God every day. Noah purposely sought to serve God and dwell with God. I want to do that. I still want to do that. I wanted to do it then, and I still want to do it now. Noah was blameless. The Bible says that he kept himself separate from the moral evil of the society around him. Noah was blameless, but not sinless. And just like Noah, all of us are faced with going along with the crowd or separating ourselves from things that will eventually destroy us. And it seems like it gets harder and harder every day to separate yourself from the evils around us. Just think how different your life would be if you separated from the crowd that is slowly robbing you and even killing you. Think about that for a moment. Even as I said this, images came to your mind of something or someone who is poison-like in your life. You get to choose life or death by choosing to follow God or the crowd. Who will you choose? Noah made a choice. I made a choice. I hope if you haven't chosen Jesus yet that you will tonight. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him, in spite of all the constant ridicule and naysayers around him. He spent 120 years building the ark, all because God asked him to. Because Noah was fully persuaded in his faith, love, and commitment to his God. Are you fully persuaded in your faith? I know I had to be to get through the torments of life. Being fully persuaded will be a continuing process until we see Jesus face to face. I sure want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want you to hear that too. And the great thing is, you get to choose how you live. No one has ideal circumstances, but every one of us can choose to use our circumstances to help us make life ideal. Let me repeat that. No one has ideal circumstances, but everyone can choose to use their circumstances to help make life ideal. Look what God can do with a heart and attitude like Noah had. He saved the human race. Can he not save you, save your marriage, your family? You fill in the blanks to what needs saving in your life. God wants to help you, and he can. I could have stayed angry and bitter, but I would have missed the beautiful life I have, and I certainly would have missed the love of my life. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." When we do all things for God's glory, the fruit of the Spirit will become a reality in our lives, our families, and work, etc. Who wouldn't want more of these? I know, as I said, each of these fruits, some more than others, resonated with you. Take a minute to acknowledge which ones. They reveal something for you. Perhaps your heart was quickened to kindness. I know mine often is. Perhaps you need to feel a little more kindness toward you. Or maybe you need to show a little kindness. What about self-control? We could all use more of that, right? Maybe the question should be, how many of these fruits do I demonstrate, and is it often or not so much? Take an honest inventory. Which ones am I weak in and need to improve upon? Which fruit do I need to receive personally for my sake, my well-being? Because you see, we all need to receive these fruits from others as much as others need to receive them from us. These fruits will change with time according to our strengths and weaknesses. And that's good, because we're always changing. Another devotion the Lord gave me when I asked for confirmation was this: love itself is invisible, but wherever it dwells, it produces such effects that its presence soon becomes known. It makes people gentle, kindly, thoughtful, unselfish, and fills them with new desires to do good and to serve and bless others. And wherever Christ is, love is, in all its pervasive, transforming influence. Sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, right? You may be saying to yourself, that's not the environment I live in. Maybe then it's time for you to inject a little more love. As you allow Christ to dwell with you, love grows. I believe the answer to every care in life is found in the two great commandments that God gave us in Matthew 22:37-39. You'll remember one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, wanted to test Jesus by asking him what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus replied, "The Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Surely as Noah was building the ark, people watched and teased. But just as surely, Noah would have tried to warn them and urge them to repent and be saved. That's loving God, and that's loving your neighbor. Personally, I think we can narrow it down to just the first commandment, because this includes all of our being, our heart, soul, and mind are fully engaged, fully persuaded. My heart, mind, and soul really needed help 30-some years ago. Don't we behave differently when God is in our view? I know I do. I know when I had to mow that lawn and carry that wood, if I didn't have Jesus in my face, you didn't want to be around. And those jobs were so hard. But as soon as I did it for him and knew that he was standing there, I could do it. So back to the beginning when my heart, soul, and mind went from have to get to. Life changed and has been changing ever since I decided to do all things for God and to bring him glory. The devotions that God gave me to reassure me, there were three of them. And this is the third one. It says, everyone, including you, whose heart, mind, and actions are focused on doing the Father's will, are members of my eternal family. How can you know the Father's will for anything you face or do? My words reveal his will for every situation you face. The Holy Spirit will empower you with the grace to act in faith on my words. In this, you will be doing the Father's will, and you will have the constant assurance that you too are a member of my eternal family. Didn't he just repeat what he'd given me in two other devotions? And all three of those were in different books. Isn't it sweet how God gave me what I needed? Don't question that he can't give you what you need. To say I get to is a paradigm shift that will revolutionize your life, not only because it redirects our attitude, but more importantly, it conditions our heart to honor God first in all we do. Philippians 4:13 reassures us that we can do all things, not because of our own strength or self-will or even our intelligence, but because God is faithful to help us. When we purpose to live like this, how can we not become better human beings? How can our families not benefit? How can life not get better? How can our burdens and stresses not be relieved? It can, and it will. If you're longing for something more, if you need God to intervene in the hopeless areas of your life, if you need more joy and peace and kindness, please allow yourself to cry out to God honestly. He's listening. Let him do what is best in his eyes and trust him in the process. It's so worth it. I'll pray with you. Many in this church will come alongside of you and will walk with you through whatever you're going through. And remember that an attitude of gratitude and a motive to please God equals harmony within and harmony without. When we realize that God is always at our side and on our side, everything we do, our lives will radically be transformed. Hebrews 13:5b says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." This is our present day promise, just as sure as the rainbow was a beautiful reminder of God's promise to Noah. And I said earlier I was a visual person. So in reality, we're all like this puzzle box. Our lives are made up of fragmented pieces. And as long as we keep ourselves boxed up in the past, we will remain a jumbled mess. But as soon as we unpack the pieces at Jesus' feet and purposely look at the shape we are in and allow him to fit the pieces together, we then can see what he sees, a beautiful picture. So, may I encourage you to let Jesus change your have to get to. Thank you. Okay, I won't.
Wasn't that great? Give her another hand, will you? So when you were talking about that 20 years ago.
It's over 30 years. 36.
Well, I was around.
Yeah, 33.
I was around 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was 33, yeah.
And I just want to say to you, thank you for staying faithful when you had every reason to quit. Every reason to give up, throw in the towel. You encouraged me.
Good.
There was times that I wanted to throw in the towel, and I think of, don't comment, Mom. And I think of people like you. I think of people like, what a blessing. I come in every Tuesday morning, early in the morning, for years. How long have you led that Bible study?
About 15 years?
15 years, every Tuesday morning, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, to come and minister to people. That's a testimony. That's a living testimony. And I want to say, on behalf of my dad tonight and on behalf of the church, we're just so blessed to have you two here, and my mom as well. We're so blessed to have you. Would you give him one more hand?
Thank you. Yeah.
I felt, Phil, would you come down? I felt even tonight in worship as I begin to sing that song, Fear is a Liar. That was a new song for us tonight. I felt in my spirit as I begin to prepare for the music that someone's heart is heavy. Someone's heart is worn. And you're on that edge. You're even right now while I'm speaking, there's a war going on. There's a tug of war going on for who you are, for your soul. And I don't want you to walk out the door and just, hey, it was just another night. Let me run out of here as quick as I can. Let these people, you know what? Chuck, why don't you come up? Why don't you stand over here? Wayne and Shawnee, very similar testimony. Why don't you guys go right over on the other side here? Before you leave tonight, I'm watching people. I'm watching your countenance, and I'm feeling a stirring in my spirit. I'm watching people wipe their eyes and their heart beating out of their chest. Don't walk out of here without a touch from the Master's hand. Come down front. Let someone who's walked through the valley that you're walking through, let them minister to you tonight. Would you close your eyes one more time? Father, we just say thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for so many living testimonies in this place. So many faithful servants. I thank you. I even think of my mom tonight. Thank you that she stayed faithful. Thank you, Lord, for so many in this place. Thank you for Wayne and Shawnee. Thank you for Ron and Barb. Thank you for so many in this place, for so many, Chuck and Linda Wood, so many years, so much history. These people that have paved the way for a younger generation. Father, tonight, for the brokenhearted, for the weary heart, Lord, that you'd minister your healing hand to them. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you that are going to leave, God bless you. We love you. But those of you that you feel that tug on your spirit, don't leave. Don't walk out the door. It's early. It's 3 minutes after. Come down and receive the Lord tonight. God bless you.